As you can see, we have a couple of sofas up here this morning. It might look a wee bit strange, but this morning's going to be a wee bit different. We're going to have conversations with different individuals that will help illustrate what it is that we're trying to say about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit moves. So Alistair's going to introduce this morning to you. Do you want to take
okay. that? Okay, yep, and then... Super. Thank you, Bill, for buying me a bit of time there. That was super. Well, good morning, everyone. It's super to see you. Isn't that such a lovely day? It's so warm, especially when you're locked up in the cage back there. So, yeah, but we're just so excited about God, who he is, how much he loves us. And we just want to open up this morning and talk a little bit and have a conversation and really add on from what we were talking about last Sunday morning. And last Sunday morning, we were looking at how the Holy Spirit moves in our lives and he comes and he touches us. He changes us. Incidentally, I know that a lot of people didn't get a chance to get the devotional, so why not grab week one and week two, and you can do the next 2 weeks. They're available at reception, so do grab those, and it'll really talk you through and walk you through. The first week is walking through how the Holy Spirit interacts with us and some of the different Greek words, and I don't get too worried about that, okay? I think I mentioned a Greek word once in the whole bit, epipipto, and other ones like that, and it just describes how the Holy Spirit interacts with our lives and what we can expect him to do. And then the second week is looking at other things right from John chapter 3, where it's the Holy Spirit who gives us rebirth. He regenerates our hearts. He gives us that ability to be born again right through our Christian walk and how we can experience him and the things we can experience the Holy Spirit to do within our lives. So a brief recap of last week is that we need to remind ourselves that the Holy Spirit is a person. We're not talking about some mystical, weird, spooky force. We're talking about a person. We're talking about someone who has an agenda. And the best way that I find that I am able to relate to the Holy Spirit, and the best way that I'm able to relate to God, and this is very biblical, the best way that I'm even able to relate to the Father is I understand both the Father and the Holy Spirit through Jesus. Okay, do you remember Jesus said to people, they were longing to see God, and he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Okay, you with me there? So whenever we need to know what the Holy Spirit is like, we look at Jesus. When we need to know what the Father is like, who do we look at? Okay, I need a bit more interaction this morning, okay, wanting to shake you up a wee bit. So who are we looking at whenever we want to understand who the Father is like? Jesus, okay. Everybody should know that answer. It's the answer that we grow up learning, isn't it? Okay, so whenever we're wanting to understand what the Holy Spirit is like, then we understand him through Jesus, okay? So I hope that helps you a wee bit. Because sometimes whenever, maybe we haven't come through a Pentecostal church or a charismatic experience, and we walk into that and we think, oh my goodness, what all is going on in here? And sometimes the Holy Spirit can seem quite elusive. And what's he really like? And sometimes that can create a little bit of fear in people's hearts as to opening up our hearts and releasing ourselves to him, because we think, is this going to be really weird? Is this going to be really strange? Well, we can understand what the Holy Spirit is like by looking at Jesus. And if we can trust Jesus, we can trust the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? So the characteristics and the attributes that Jesus has, the Holy Spirit has. I don't want to go into a whole thesis on the Trinity, okay? Maybe someday we'll do that for you. Okay, so anyway, that's how we understand the Holy Spirit. So he's a person and he comes to move in our lives. And we were looking at Jesus being our pattern as well as the one that we look to, the one who is our salvation, the one who died for us, the one who was our atoning sacrifice. He bore the wrath of God on himself on the cross, and the need for him to come and live and die and be resurrected and ascended into heaven. We understand that as who Jesus is, but Jesus also came to be our pattern and our example. And so Jesus, in being our example through his baptism, we know he didn't have to go through the baptism of repentance. He didn't have to go through all of that stuff. Only that he showed us the pattern to live, the way to live, the example that we are to live by. And so as we live following Jesus, then we can see some of the things that he experienced. And so we understood whenever he got baptized, the Holy Spirit came on him in the form of a dove. And we looked last week at how that's really important. The picture of the dove being a bird that settles not anywhere, but comes whenever there's a place that it can rest. And so we looked last week at how we can open up our hearts and what that looks like, the three A's that we acknowledge as presence, that we, I'm trying to remember it all now, but anyway, but we give God access all areas, that we open up our hearts fully to Him. And whenever the Holy Spirit comes, He brings the affirmation of the Father. And that's what happened with Jesus. This is my Son with whom I'm well pleased. And Paul tells us that that's what happens for us in Romans chapter 8, that we haven't received a spirit of fear, that we should fear God or be afraid to approach Him, but we have received the Spirit by which we cry out, Abba, and that same Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are the sons and daughters of God. So He brings that affirmation to us. You're a child of God. You're my Son with whom I'm well pleased. You're my daughter with whom I'm well pleased. God is pleased with you this morning. Even if you've stuffed up all week, God loves you. Because you're His child, He loves you. And that doesn't mean He overlooks sin. Sin's important. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. The clue's in the name. He draws us towards living righteously and holy within our lives. However, He brings the affirmation of the Father. And I'm going to bring that to you a wee bit later on, because I really believe some of us need to walk into that and receive some of that affirmation. And that's an experiential thing. It's not just a head thing where we know it, but we understand it and we get it in here. And that's what Paul is saying, that the Spirit testifies to our spirit that we are the children of God. And so theologians talk about the immediate witness of the Spirit, not just an understanding, but a witness deep within that we understand, that we know, that we have heard, the immediate witness of God within our hearts and within our lives. So we looked at the dove and the affirmation of the Spirit. We looked at how then the Spirit led Jesus to conquer and be victorious over temptation and sin, and how that can be an example for you and for me, that we, through the Spirit's power and the fire of God, please no more today of the normal fires, but through the fire of God, we can live a victorious, conquering life towards righteousness, towards the things that God has for us. And the point for those of you who maybe drove off a bit early, or you didn't gather around the Sermon on the Mount. okay, but the next point was that the Holy Spirit led Jesus into ministry, into an overflow, where He healed the sick, where He proclaimed the gospel. And that's what Luke 4:18 to 19 begins, that mandate of Jesus: the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, because to bind up the brokenhearted, to make the blind see. And so that's what happens to us. That's what we should expect when the Spirit moves in our lives. We encounter Him. Yes, He gives us that affirmation, and that's really important. But it's not just about us. It's about the world that's out there. And that's the message of the Spirit coming to you and to me. And Paul reminds us in Ephesians 5:18, I will stop now because we have loads of things to do. But Ephesians, Bill's probably sitting back there going, oh boy, right? Ephesians 5:18 reminds us, don't get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but be being filled, again, the Greek, the present continuous, be being filled, continually filled with the Spirit. So whether you've had an encounter with God 30 years ago or 50 years ago or whatever, for each one of us have that same imperative, because in the Greek it's an imperative, it's a command for today, to be filled today, to walk with God today, to be overflowing with Him today. Okay, so that's a challenge for all of us, amen? Okay, so we're going to move into where we are with that. So do you want to... Okay, so where's David and Mike? Can you guys come up? These are going to come up and you're going to sit with us and chat with us. So this is going to happen today. We're going to talk less and let these guys talk a bit. And in the midst of it, we'll bring a few wee thoughts to you. Okay. You all still awake out there? That's awesome. Brilliant. Thank you. Okay, grab a wee seat, Mike, wherever you find yourself comfortable. Well, I will sit over here and then I'll move over there, okay, because we're more people coming. Okay, guys, so I'm going to give you the microphone, and what we're looking at, the three things that we're looking at today is our encounter, our experience, and the overflow of the Spirit within our lives. And what we wanted to do was get these guys really just to tell a bit of their story, and there's others who are going to tell their story of overflow in a moment. And this is just, not everybody has experienced is going to be what these guys have had, but we'd love them to share and to inspire, because sometimes it's good to hear from somebody else other than us. Don't amen that. Okay, all right. So this is David. David, just tell us a wee bit about how you encountered the Holy Spirit for your life.
Can I give you a bit of background just to it? Okay, yeah. I'm probably going to take you back maybe to about roughly the year 2000, just to give you sort of a round date in your mind. My encounter with the Holy Spirit was a very profound experience. It was a very deep experience. I remember around that time, the Holy Spirit laid upon me a very deep conviction about this blessing, this baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's named. It carries a number of different names in Scripture. It's sometimes called the promise of the Father. It's sometimes called the promise of the Spirit. But I remember it came very strong to me, this conviction about this blessing. I knew I was a Christian. I knew I was saved. But there was this, something else had come, and the Holy Spirit had highlighted this very strongly. And this was with me for maybe 2.5 to 3 years. Now, something happened actually in that window of time also, whereby while I understood that this blessing was here, and by the way, I asked loads of people about the blessing, do you know anything about this? And the vast majority of people knew nothing about it. They either told me that you already had it when you became a Christian, or it wasn't for today. All manner of answers I got back. But the more people just tried to dissuade me from this, the more the conviction came. And during that time, then, the Holy Spirit was also doing something else in my life. He was trying to bring me into a place, into a position, if I could even use the word a disposition, where I could receive the blessing. But I resisted a lot, and I fought a lot against God. I didn't win, by the way, at the end. But I resisted him a lot, probably through a lack of understanding, a lack of knowledge about what God was actually trying to do with me. And only now looking back, I could see he was trying to bring me into a place to receive. And at the very same time, and I don't want this to frighten anybody, I'm not saying this to frighten anyone, but at the very same time, and this is my own experience, the devil, the enemy, he also decided it was open season as well. And if I could use this, and I've said this before in other places, but if the devil carries an automatic weapon, he took it, loaded it, put it to my head and pulled the trigger, because that's exactly what it was like. He just unleashed this fury into my mind. And it was over that period of 2.5, 3 years that I began to really experience what was termed spiritual warfare, this battle against the devil, because the one thing he does not want to happen is God's people to be empowered. That's the one thing he's trying to stop above all. If you become a Christian, he will stop you at any cost. Did you become empowered, filled with the Holy Spirit? Because then you are a threat to him, you're a threat to his kingdom, and you can do things in the Spirit that you weren't maybe previously able to do. So the devil did this. I remember going through a lot of difficult times, and eventually I came into a place of resting in the Lord. That's the only way I can describe it. It's the only word I could really use to describe it. I came into this place where I was resting in the Lord. And so by about October and around 2002, I remember I was in my room. I shared a house with some people in Dunmurray, and they had gone home for the weekend. It was a Saturday morning. And I woke up this one morning, and I had been seeking the blessing. I'd been talking to the Lord about it. I got to the point, actually, many times. Actually, I said to the Lord, I was fed up. The conviction was so strong. I was fed up listening to it and reading about it, and the Holy Spirit was constantly bringing it to me. But he eventually brought me into a place of rest and of just being settled and waiting before him. And I had that for a few months. And this one Saturday morning, I woke up, and the presence of God was in the room, the full of the room. And I got up that morning, and there was no one in the house. And I went downstairs, and in every room in the house, the presence of God, whether it was the bathroom, the hallway, the kitchen, the living room, the presence of God was filling the whole house. So I decided that I would go back to the room and spend some time in prayer, and I did. Now, perhaps it could have been maybe 2 hours passed, I don't know. It was something like that. A good period of time had passed. And all the while, this presence of God was increasing all the time. And I remember it reached this one point. There was a stillness in the room. It was almost tangible. There was a stillness inside the room. And I remember, I wasn't primarily seeking this, and I don't want you to think that being filled with the Holy Spirit is just about speaking in tongues, because it's not. But there was this moment where I just happened to say to the Lord, if it be your will, would you let me speak in tongues? And that's all I said. I wasn't pursuing that particular gift in any great way. It was more about this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And as I went to speak again to the Lord in prayer, it came out in a tongue. And I actually stopped myself. I wasn't out of control. I didn't lose my mind or anything. I was very much in control of all my faculties. But I stopped myself and I began to think just in my mind, did I actually say those words? Did those words actually come out of my mouth? And as I went to open my mouth again, I'd literally just offered my voice to the Lord. I hadn't prayed anything. I just offered him my voice. And I went to open my mouth again. It was as if somebody just opened the floodgate over my head. And the Holy Spirit just came down in a very great and a very powerful way. And the Spirit of God filled me. The fire of God came into me in a very profound way. And if you were to ask me, what effect did it have upon you? Well, in the immediate effect, there was a fullness came in. I want to use the word very specifically. There was a satisfaction came in, very, very deep satisfaction. I never thought that such satisfaction was ever possible in this life. And out of that flowed a sense of power in prayer, a sense of Scripture being more alive. I want to even talk to you, even just to mention the words about it. There was a purity that came with it as well. There was a heart purity. It's not talking about being sinless in any way, but there was definitely a purity came with it. There was an assurance of my salvation. Even though I knew I was a Christian, there was most definitely this assurance that came with it also. And you know how you read in Scripture, and this is nothing about me in particular, not pointing to myself, but you'll read certain words in Scripture that so-and-so walked with God. Well, I can tell you 100% in those hours and those days, I walked with God, literally. I remember times walking to the shop and I could feel that the Lord was walking beside me. That's how profound the experience was. And that's not to point anything to me, but that's just to give you an example of what the experience is possible, what it's like, what is actually possible in Christ, how real he is, how real God wants to be in your life. And out of that has flown many other blessings since, and probably one would nearly be equal to what that was. But there has been many blessings since, and it has had a very deep, a profound effect upon me, and it has left an indelible mark on my life. And I have enjoyed the good of that and the blessing of that from that day until now.
Thank you, David. Thank you.
Okay. Mike. My first encounter with the Holy Spirit, I had been coming here about 5.5 years now, and not long after I came here, there were sessions after the Sunday evening service where we could perhaps rest in the Lord or just wait upon him or seek the Holy Spirit. And really, I thought, well, I'll just stay behind and I'll sit and I'll see what happens, because the folk here have something more. And Janet and I can both testify. When we came in here the first time, that there was a great welcome, no doubt about that. And beyond that, we both felt the power of the Holy Spirit, you know. And I suppose that's perhaps one of the... Well, that was the first realization that we should be here. We're going to be here, and the Lord has something more for us. And I probably wouldn't have said the Holy Spirit has more for us. I just didn't understand the Holy Spirit, if you like. So I stayed behind that Sunday night, and I was sitting there just wondering what was going to happen. And I knew I'd heard stories of various things at Pentecostal meetings that would happen, and I think I thought, well, maybe something like that will happen, or maybe it'll just be a lovely quiet time where we can consider the Lord and the Holy Spirit. And Stephen came over to me, our elder here, and he said, I think you're searching for something. Could I just pray and anoint you? And I was very pleased, because something was going to happen, and this man seemed to have identified that something could happen to me. And I knew nothing more than that, you know. And suddenly I remember turning around my seat. I was in the back row, and I grabbed Stephen's two hands. He was just behind. And I thought, why did I do that? I don't know why I did that. Seemed like I should do something, so I grabbed his two hands. And He prayed for me and anointed me with oil, and I can't remember the words, but it was just for anointing of the Holy Spirit. And now looking back, I know why I grabbed his two hands, and that was the Holy Spirit. It was just this witness I could have. And my hands, it's not pins and needles, it's not tingling, but those are the sort of words that are closest to it, but maybe perhaps more towards a nice burning in your hands, you know. And somehow I knew for 3 days this was going to last. And it did last exactly 3 days to whatever time it was, I suppose a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever. And I had these burning hands. And that was just an affirmation that something had happened. And I suppose looking back now, I'm just so thankful for the Lord because I still have that. And it's very intense. And you're aware of the presence of the Lord when he's doing it. I wouldn't say it's all the time when the Holy Spirit has something for you to do. But definitely when I need to know, when I need to be bold, or when he's going to bring a word for somebody, or and I suppose on the street outreach, it's most common, something is going to happen, and just stand firm and don't worry, the Holy Spirit is here. And yesterday I was up at that conference in Corian, and Mark Marks was there, and he was using this word, which I investigate, he was imparting, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit and the authority to folk, and I was there, and my hands had burned really strongly, and it was going almost right up to the wrists, and it was wonderful, and I was just a witness of the Holy Spirit that he gave to me. The next thing that happened was a very spectacular thing, what the world would call crazy, but is really the supernatural, which should be our natural line, I believe, wholeheartedly. And that's when I'd lost one of my little animals, some of you might remember, and had gone missing for a number of days. And Ethel had very kindly prayed that this animal would be returned. And then at 8:30 on a Monday morning, the Monday morning after the Saturday prayer time, Stephen phoned me up again. And he told me this crazy story that if I would go and stand on a hill and look out in the distance, I would see my animal. And I did. And it was utterly life-changing. It was, I'd never experienced anything like that before. And it was like, and this is not what happened, of course. Well, not of course, but it didn't happen like this. But it felt like God was just putting his hands. He was facing me, just reaching down from the sky on the top of that hill, and putting his hands on my shoulder, and it utterly changed my life. And I was very pleased about that, because I had come in deeper to the Father, and this experience with the Holy Spirit, this person of the Holy Spirit, had come, and he had made no doubt in my mind that he could do anything. And that has been, there's been various words from the Bible that have stood out to me, and there's been various messages that have stood out to me amongst all the other messages in regard to the Holy Spirit. And I could sum it up by the latest two words that have come to me. And that would be, you know, things are going on in the world. There's a purpose that God has for us in the world. And the world says this is what's going to happen. And nature says this is what's going to happen. And perhaps science says this is what's going to happen. Doctor says this is what's going to happen. Theology says this is what's going to happen. But God. And the most two recent words are, but the Holy Spirit. So that's been my experience. I could go on and on and on. And I think the Lord matches to us the way that he would like to receive us. And I've had a lot of supernatural experiences. And some which the world called really wacky, out in the fields at home. And I remember accounting that story about the heifer coming back up at the frontier. And I'm glad I was honest enough to say, I don't really know what this means. I knew God was reaching down to me to catch my attention. But I don't think I'd even thought far enough to think, of course, it would be for a purpose. And it was for a purpose. And he's placed tremendous desires of love for people in me, and concern for salvation for people within me. And I can think back, and I don't always think back to that incident, because there have been so many and which have made me bold and made me sure and have that, but God, this man's in front of me, he doesn't seem to know anything of God, but I know that you have chosen him, Father, today. So, but the Holy Spirit, but God, you're coming into the kingdom today.
Okay. So one of the things we wanted to say was, you know, and we have two very different experiences and two different... One of the things that can happen is that a preacher can get up and they can say their experience of how they have been impacted by the Holy Spirit. And everybody feels like, well, it has to be like that then. Well, I haven't had that, so I don't have it. And one of the things that we kind of really wanted to say was that not every experience is the same. We're experiencing a God who is an individual and treats us as individuals. And as you look through Scripture, and we don't have time today to really read all of the different Scriptures, but if you look at Acts 2, that was different to what happened in Acts 8. So in Acts 2, they were in a prayer meeting, and God came in a mighty, mighty way, and they seen tongues of fire above each other's heads. There was a mighty outpouring. There was an outpouring of a wind that they sensed and they felt and heard, the mighty rushing wind. They spoke in tongues in a way that people understood what they were saying, because there was a lot of different tourists and visitors to Jerusalem that day. And so there was a mighty outpouring there. And then we find in Acts 9, for example, for Paul's conversion, he has the encounter with God, and God, Jesus speaks to him on the road to Damascus. But then he has to go, and Ananias comes to him, and it's a very private affair, where Ananias prays for him, and scales fall off his eyes, and he's touched by the Holy Spirit, and things happen in a different way there. In Acts chapter 8, just to go back a wee bit, it's different. Peter and John come to Samaria after a mission held by Philip, and they pray for people. They encounter the Spirit in a different way. And as you go right through, even in Acts chapter 10, it happens in the middle of Peter preaching to Gentiles. So it wasn't whenever they were praying for folks. It was whenever Peter's preaching, and seemingly they were responding to God within their hearts, and the Holy Spirit said, okay, I'm taking that. I'm taking your hunger, and I'm going to meet with that. So it was different for them in that way. Whenever I was growing up, for me it happened, my first real encounter with the Holy Spirit that I would say was a tangible, that I really knew that God was moving in my life in that experiential encounter way, was at a meeting. It was when I responded and went to the front. But I had friends who they encountered God in their bedrooms in that way. And that was a very real experience for them. Some of us spoke in tongues whenever that happened. Some didn't, but they knew that they encountered God. And so the purpose is that we encounter God. And God encounters us very often according to our personalities. Very often. I'm not saying sometimes he will move in a different way. But God knows who you are, and he knows what you're like. And he moves in our hearts in different ways. And one of the questions I have for Bill is... So we've talked about the experiences. God moves in our hearts. We experience God in different ways. Do you want to talk a wee bit about that?
Yep. Yes, certainly. Just let me share, for a brief moment, the three most powerful times that I've experienced the Spirit. Because as Alistair rightly said, sometimes in an environment like this, you're hearing David's really dramatic story, Mike's dramatic stories as well, and you're kind of going, well, it wasn't like that for me, so I've never encountered the Spirit. And you kind of feel like you're missing out. But Alistair's exactly right, that we all encounter the Spirit in different ways, and he moves in different ways. The first time I experienced the Holy Spirit as a 14-year-old in a meeting was a time at a youth weekend where we were praying and worshiping, and the Holy Spirit made himself very, very real. And it wasn't a real fun experience. It was actually a real weight of God's glory and presence coming into the room, where everybody, I mean everybody, the 100 kids that were there, and from maybe just first year to maybe 30 years old, everybody got down on their knees and wept. And it's not one of the experiences everyone puts their hand up for. I want that kind of moving of the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you, there was a purifying fire of God that came into that room that everybody felt. And nobody walked out of that room just going, what was that all about? Everybody felt something of the reality of God. And we all did. And when we were talking to the leaders about it afterwards, saying, what on earth was that? They said, God was refining us as a young as individuals. But that was about 3 hours later, because very few of us could speak. We had cried that much, and it was over our own sin in our own lives. And it wasn't an awful thing where we all felt dejected, and it was actually the embrace of the Holy Spirit in that moment. I was 14 at the time, so that had a profound experience on me. The next time, when I was about 17, it was in my room when I was praying and asking God about, there were some issues in my life that I really felt wanted God to take away, and had made mistakes in certain areas, and I was just at that place where you felt like, God, you could never accept me because of the mistakes I've made. And I felt in that moment really what Alistair said, the witness of the Spirit, that I was a child of God, and the grace of God overwhelmed me in such a way that it totally changed my outlook on everything. The way I'd thought about God, who I thought he was, how he would push us away if we made a mistake. So that was another experience that changed the way I looked at things. And then as a 21-year-old, in the workplace, as I've shared this before, where I had a Christian CD on at the time. It was a guy called Jason Upton, and he was singing a song about faith and about freedom. And it sounds absolutely crazy, but you all know me well enough to know that I'm quite level-headed, quite, you know, feet on the ground type of person. But see, in that moment, I felt such a joy and a freedom in God that I actually, and this isn't a word of a lie, you'll go, that's crazy, I actually danced around that shop floor. Like danced, and don't be asking me to do it again. No, do it again. I know. Yeah. My legs are a wee bit sore, so I'll not do it this morning. But I've experienced that in such a profound way. Now, it wasn't an ecstatic thing where I couldn't control it. It was actually something that happened in my heart to make me realize you're free here in this moment. So nobody walked in, thankfully, and I just danced away for only a couple of minutes. But that was the way I encountered God. So very different experiences over the course of my life. So there isn't a particular model that God always works to. That's all I'm saying. So God will work in a different way. And what Alistair has asked me there about the outworking off those moments, this is one thing that I just be honest and be personal about, and it is a wee bit challenging, but hear my heart. Sometimes when we talk about the moving of the Spirit in our lives, we talk about these one-off moments, and then nothing ever changes from that moment in our lives. And for me, it causes me to put a question mark on that. When somebody says to me, oh, I encountered the Spirit in an amazing way, and he came and ministered to my life, and I kind of look at their lives and go, well, has anything actually changed? Where has that led you to? Because our God, when he comes and he touches our hearts and he ministers, like David and Micah said, there is always an outworking to what he wants to do. It's not just about us having a nice experience, although that's lovely, and I'm not knocking that. But what I'm saying is, the experiences we have with Almighty God make us go away different than when we first came in. I think of Jacob, and when he wrestled with the angel, whatever that was, he wrestled on the plains with this angel all throughout the night, and in the morning he got up with a limp. And he walked away with a limp. And for the rest of his life, he walked with a limp. And I know that's a bit of a negative connotation. But in the same way, as believers, when we encounter the power, the presence, the peace, the goodness of Almighty God, we should walk away. And the way we walk should be different from that encounter. So there should be an outworking to the Spirit's work in our lives. That's kind of where you're asking, Alistair. That's how we encounter the Spirit, but we encounter him for a purpose. He encounters us for a purpose, as I should say. There should be power that comes from our lives. As David said, we walk in a greater authority. When we have that assurance of Almighty God in our hearts, the enemy can't play the same mind games he plays with us about feeling like we're not worthy, we're not good enough. See, when the Holy Spirit comes and he assures us that we're children of God, it changes how we deal with that, how we walk away from that. When we feel the empowerment of the Spirit, when we go into our workplaces, we no longer feel like the tail, because we are the head, because Jesus has placed us there with his power inside of us to do what he has called us to do. We should be more effective in witness, how we witness. If we're saying that we've encountered the Holy Spirit who wants to bring people to Jesus and to salvation, then surely our witness should change, how we talk to people about Jesus. Surely our boldness should change. Surely our joy should change in the way we look at life. Everything changes when we encounter him. And we cannot forget the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, not just the gifts of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit should be evident in our lives. When he comes and he moves in our hearts and he wants to be real, he brings gifts, yes, but he brings fruit, change of character, different ways we approach things, different ways we look at things, because that's what he does and that's who he is. So when we encounter him, those things should flow from our lives.
Brilliant. And so what we're going to do is a few examples. Now, this isn't again, it's just good to hear from other people. So can I invite Beth, Phil, Mike is already here, and Andrew onto the platform, okay? And they're going to tell us a few stories, and then we're going to come on ahead, and you can sit there. Come on ahead. Brilliant. Thanks, guys. Grab a wee seat. That's super. Now, it's not male dominant on purpose, okay? It was just these were the things that, and the guys that came to our hearts whenever we were processing this. And we know that we all have stories to tell about how God has used us. And we're trying to discover the power of story within our church and tell more and more of what God is doing. And it does a couple of things. It inspires us to go and do the same sort of stuff. So, guys, just be careful and aware of time, okay? But just tell briefly what's sort of you've been prompted to do, and as you've obeyed God, then how that's flowed there. So,
well, for me, this goes back 18 months ago, whenever family circumstances had changed for me, and I found I had a wee bit more free time. And I remember distinctly sort of saying, I'm not getting any younger, Lord, and I really want to, what days I have to count for you. I want to be doing more for you. But I didn't know what that was going to be. And within a very short time of praying that, I just felt the Holy Spirit just really prompting me to, and I became very aware of, I had a family member, a young woman who with young children who was going through a very difficult situation. And I also became aware of several women within the church, young women within the church as well, who were maybe struggling with some issues at the time. And the thing, and both these guys mentioned it, and I think this is very important. I'm not going to preach your sermon, but at that stage, I just felt the Holy Spirit just saying to me, it was like a Mary, whenever the angels and all visit her, whenever Jesus was born. It said she took those things and she hid them and pondered them in her heart. You know, she just didn't rush out and say, all right, I'm going to get involved in the women's work, I'm going to get involved in the children's work or whatever. And I just felt the Holy Spirit saying to me in my spirit, I want you to just ponder and, you know, and just rest in me, and I'm going to show you what I want you to do and where I want to lead you and what work I want you to go into. And sort of within 3 months of that, I came in contact with several of the young women within the church, and I just talking to them found that a lot of their time when they do come to church is either spent in creche looking after the children or having to take their babies out and go into the creche room, and that so they don't really get hearing the word or getting fellowship. And the Lord really impressed, the Spirit just really impressed that upon me, that that there was a need there, that these young, I call them the young moms, and that and young women in the church that just needed to be built up and to grow in God. And very specifically, I felt the Holy Spirit saying to me, I want them to grow up into their ministries and into their giftings within the body here. And yet again, I suppose it was because I was older, and that I sort of I felt as well that I want these young women to be rising up and to be doing the things within the church, you know, that this church will continue to live and continue to grow. And just through that, as I say, I just pondered those things and prayed about them. I think I spoke to Bill maybe and Hillary about it at the time. And I just asked, you know, Holy Spirit, if this is really from you, I want you to open the doors, because I don't have the confidence in myself to do this. And I would say within sort of 3 months, there was several things happened that the doors were opened. One of them was one Sunday night, and I'm not very often at church on a Sunday night, but I was at church this Sunday night, and we're having a cup of tea at the back, and Liz Robinson just came along, and we were talking about Flourish, and she said to me, well, Beth, have you any ideas about Flourish? And I just felt myself centered. No, Liz, but can I tell you what's on my heart? And I just shared with her, and she said, you know, that is so needed here within the body, Beth. And I just felt, well, people, that was a confirmation. But still, I took it away and still continued to pray about it. And that, and within another few weeks, a couple of the girls came and said to me, "Oh, it would be great if we could have fellowship together. It doesn't have to be heavy teaching or that, but they just felt that there was a need for them to get together and to grow as young women within the church." So yet again, I was very dubious about it all, and still, and that's the thing with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't go away. You get this prompting all the time, you know. If it's off yourself, you sort of say, well, that's it and it's gone. But I just, with the Holy Spirit, I just find there's always a prompting there, you know. It doesn't let go of you. And that, so I did continue to pray about it, kept it very, very quiet, and that, and didn't really talk about it over the summer. I spoke to a couple of the girls and I said, look, if this is what you feel, just pray, you know. And I'm praying as well that if God wants us to go with this work, then, you know, the Holy Spirit will open up a way for that to come about. And I think it was just come September, and Alistair actually one Thursday was at the Mums and Toddlers, and he's saying, "Can I have a wee word with you?" And it was about starting the over 50s group, and that, which was very uplifting. and I went and had a chat with Alistair, and I have to say, I was sort of afraid. I sort of thought, this was on my heart still about the women's, the young women's work, and I thought, but I can't really approach, you know, the pastors about this. They, you know, this is a work of God. They should be coming to me and saying to me, you know, would you like to do this or would you like to do that? But I'd say, I had a chat with Alistair, and we were talking about the over 50s, and I remember saying to him, "Alistair, can I just share with you, you know, what's on my heart?" And when I shared with you, Alistair said, "Go with it," you know. And that was just, you know, confirmation from God that that's where he wanted us to go. So within a few weeks, I got around. I knew there was three or four girls that were really interested, and I said, "Can we get together, meet?" Liz Robinson had been on from the beginning. She said, "Look, you want to do this? I'll look after the children," and that. Gillian McMinn came on board and said, "I think this is fantastic. I'll help look after the children," which was wonderful, because I thought, well, I get these women together. How are we going to study the Word of God and look after, you know, toddlers and children running around? So even in that, you know, the Holy Spirit just opened up a way for all that to happen. And come September, said we thought we'd run with it. Three or four girls would come along. And, you know, just in obedience to doing what the Holy Spirit prompted us to do, in the last year, that little group of three or four have grown to 12. Ladies, you know, young women within the church. And we meet once a month. If you feel you want to be a part of that, do come and see us. And just to see those young women growing in God, it's just been a blessing to me. And that, you know, because these were young women who, if I'd said to them, "Would you mind opening?" "Oh, don't ask me, you know. Would you read this?" "Don't ask me." And every month now, you know, I'll go and I'll say, "You know, this is your group, girls. You know, I'm just the facilitator. I'm just, you know, in behind the scenes." And I'll say, "Who wants to lead?" You know, and every month, you know, somebody will say, "Well, I'll do it next month." And just to see that, you just know that that's the hand of God and God at work within that. So I would just encourage you to be obedient to those promptings within your spirit this morning, you know, and hide them in your heart and pray about them, and the Holy Spirit will make a way.
Super. Hello. Hello. Morning. Or good afternoon, maybe it is. I just want to first off say, because I felt God, just as we're sitting here, to say this. This doesn't come easy to me, to even be sitting here. You may think, well, you probably don't think I'm a natural at it, but I'm nervous. My heart's pounding. You know, so I'd encourage for all of you who are down there thinking, "Oh, I could never do that, or I could never do these things." Well, you can. You just have to step out and just do it. So, there, I've just said it, and I felt to say that to you. So, Alistair asked me just to share a story of God speaking to me, and, you know, just sort of how that looks like in everyday life. Again, first of all, I want to say that I believe God speaks to absolutely everybody. He speaks to all of his children, and it's not just for the few, but it's for all of us to learn to listen for his voice and then be obedient to that. So the story that sort of came to me, because I got to hear the other side of it, so it's quite a
probably a good story to know the both sides. So I was actually over in London visiting my brother Joel, and I'd gone to the Sunday service, and they have a thing where they have these mics at the front of church where people can come and pray or share a word. So I might just drop that in there, guys, you might want to. So anyway, this gentleman who had actually welcomed us as we had come in, they meet in the cinema, and he'd come up to pray. And the way God speaks to me is, the way I would describe it is, it's more a feeling. It's not a voice as such. You know, I don't hear an audible voice of God or anything like that. It's more just a sense or a feeling. And just as he was praying there, I just felt God speak to him, and you know, that I was to go and speak to him afterwards. So basically it was along the lines of, he was an older gentleman, he was about, maybe I should watch myself, he was probably in his early 60s, mid-60s, so when I say older, he was older in that setting, because there was a lot of young people there. It was all sort of my age group, younger as well. And I felt God saying that he is questioning his place there in the church. First of all, because of his age. And I just felt God saying that his role there was very important. And, you know, it was very important that he stuck out and stayed with it and just kept going. So I got the opportunity to just step out in faith and go and speak to him at the end. And you do have to step out. So I just shared that with him, and I said, okay, hopefully it means something for you. And then he you could tell he was sort of taken back a wee bit when I was just chatting to him. And then he said, you know, I have to tell you this. This morning, my wife and I, at breakfast, we were just discussing, and we're feeling just, you know, where is our role in the church, and we're feeling just a wee bit discouraged, and even talking about, because the grandkids that lived outside London, and it was a real sacrifice to live in the city for them. And I just thought, you know, maybe this isn't our place. You know, maybe we should just go back to the country and spend time with the grandkids. And that really, these are all the things they've been talking about that morning. So, yeah, he was just totally saying, you know, this is a real answer to God, just answering the exact question that we asked him. You know, are we to stay here? So that's just an example of, you know, God just prompting and then stepping out in faith, and obviously it meant something, and it was important for him. I think it was also important that it was an outsider from the church. It wasn't somebody who maybe knew. It was someone completely different, you know, was able to say this to him. And I would encourage us, I wrote down the scripture in Hebrews, and without faith it is impossible to please him. And a good way to look at when God's speaking to our hearts, I feel, is it's an opportunity to please God. And whether it's right or not, you know, whether what you say is perfectly right, or, you know, it's an look at it as an opportunity to please God. So I'd encourage you, if you do feel God prompting you to do something, whether it's wave a flag, whether it's go and speak to somebody, go and pray with somebody, whatever it might be, even give somebody a scripture verse, I would encourage you just to do it. Look at it as an opportunity. I can please God in doing this. And whether you got it 100% or not, I don't believe God worries about that, because he's just pleased that you stepped out in faith, and you'll begin to learn his voice, and he'll speak to you more, and you'll get more opportunity. And it's a wonderful privilege and blessing to be part of that journey, and to see what God, you don't hear every time what happens, but to see God moving in other people's lives and being a part of that. So just to encourage you with that.
A got a wee text from Ethel there. She's with the nurse, with her mum this morning, and she just said, I'm praying for you. She said, stick to your notes. Just stick to your notes. So this is going to be easy for me. These guys were very free and relaxed in this. It is a very humbling thing to sit here. I'm so nervous. You know, people think this is easy, as Andrew said, but whenever Beth was saying there about the Holy Spirit on you and there's this pumping, I tell you, I can feel this pumping. And I wish it was the Holy Spirit, just and a fresh anointing. No, I'm going to tell you about a very recent business trip I had to Liverpool. Just Thursday week there, I had to go on what you would nearly count a pointless trip to Liverpool, because I had to get on the boat at 10 o'clock on Thursday night, go to Liverpool, get off at 7 in the morning, go across from Birkenhead to the other side of Liverpool, lift the vehicle and rush back to be on that boat before it went back to Belfast. So it was two and a half hours of a rush, and I was calling upon his name because it was very difficult to get back to the boat for 9:30. When I got onto the dock, the gate was locked, the chains were on it, the barriers were down. I thought about a little joke that Stephen and I have. The bollards were up and the place is closed. I said to the girl, I want to get on the boat. And she said, we're closed. And just at that there, I said, you're joking. She says, yes. And she handed me the ticket. And she went and lifted the barrier up. And I had to sit in front of these locked gates for 15 minutes. And I said, look, are these gates going to open? Am I getting on the boat? But eventually, they did let me on the boat. I just thanked the Lord that he had so answered my prayer and I was getting on the boat. Now, of 8 hours of boring on the boat, within about an hour and a half, I'm going to lose the signal. So I really called on the Lord and I said, Lord, make this a good, worthy journey for 8 hours. I noticed this family in the space of about an hour and a half going round the boat, and they were very unsettled. You know, normally someone sits down and they get the kids settled and things are good, but they kept going out onto the deck and never were settled. So I said, Lord, I would like to help them. So we're well into the sea. It wasn't rough or too rocky, but there's a lot of wind blowing, a lot of rain. And I just went out and sort of looked over at sea, because they're out in the wee smoke. That's what really they're out for, and to try and calm themselves. They're a very unhappy group. So after I looked at the waves for a moment, sorry, I've gone off the notes, I have to stick to these notes, Ethel said. They were stressed and they were restless. They were on the deck and having their wee smoke. And they sort of split up for a moment, and I spoke to the elderly gentleman who was really, really sore looking. He was really amazed at the waves and stuff. I said, aren't they tremendous? And I turned around and I said, what are you doing? And he said, we're going over to visit my wife's sister. She's terminally ill in Portadown. And I could tell by their accent they were Irish descendants. So I said, you know, I believe God can touch you guys and give you a peace today. And I believe we can pray for your sister, who was Kathleen. So chatted for a moment, and then we prayed. This is me on the boat. I don't normally talk to people like this, but you know, my prayer was answered. God gave me an opportunity. At this stage, it was an elderly gentleman and his wife. And I said, can I pray for you? I said, oh, I'd love you to pray for me. And I was about to pray, and she says, hold on, she says, hold on. Let me get my son. And she starts to call up the deck to bring her son up. And she wanted someone else prayed for. So I'm standing holding these two elderly couples' hand or arm, and the son's coming up. I said, let me please explain what I'm doing, would you? So the chap was Marty and Rosie, and I'm saying to myself, what have I got myself into here in the deck? And if you remember in the 90s, you used to have a wee badge, WWJD, isn't that right? Or a wee bracelet? Well, I said to myself, if I had a wee badge, WWMD, what would Mike do? And I really had to steady myself and say, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll pray with my eyes open and I'll watch them as I'm praying. You know, and I tried my best Cambridge accent like Mike. You know, I tried everything. And I tried to be so cool. No, I'm only having a wee joke there. I had to call on the Lord again, because I started to pray for them, and every time I said, you know, I was praying against the cancer and praying for salvation and the people at home, and I had my eyes open and I was looking into their faces and stuff, and they kept crossing themselves. Every time I said in Jesus' name, they were crossing themselves. These guys were so wanting me to pray for them and so wanting a touch upon their lives and something from God. Stick to the notes, Philip. So anyway, with that lovely time of prayer, and I said I didn't really challenge them on salvation. So we're sort of loafing around the boat for another 3 or 4 hours, and about 4 o'clock I went around with my iPad, which was operating, and I opened the Word, and I'd said to the wee lady, do you not think if you really would read the Bible, you would learn something about God, and you'd begin to have a faith? And she says, oh, son, I can't read. I can't read, son. I says, well, your daughter can read. And when I went over with the wee app, I said, these are the words of Jesus, these red words. And Rosie started to read, and she's sitting in the boat reading out loud the Word of God to all the family. And very excited about the Word of God. Just finish off here. So I just felt like saying, I was prompted because I really was calling on the Lord, and I was making myself available. You know, I was making myself available to Him. And each of us have opportunities regularly, but we haven't to force it. We don't need to get weird, but be ourselves and to listen to what we think the Holy Spirit has for the people that we come into contact with. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can we all stand together? That's so good, guys, and so beneficial to hear how God is using you. And so we've looked at how we can encounter and experience the Holy Spirit and then the overflow from our lives. Hope you found that helpful this morning, hearing other people's stories and examples of how that works in people's lives. And really, we wanted to do that because sometimes we have this idea that it's just the guys who do the preaching, or, you know, one or two. And so it's really helpful to hear other people's stories. And we're all ordinary people, and yet we just want to hear God's voice, and we want to respond to Him. And so I know the time is gone, but I'd love to pray for us, and I would love to give us an opportunity. So in a moment, if the guys, Richard, would you mind helping us out a wee bit? Maybe just lead a song. If you need to leave, you're in a rush to get away, please feel free to do that. If your kids are in crash, please relieve the guys if you're able to do that. But I would love for us to pray, and I would love for us to open up our hearts and just simply say, Lord, and we don't need to whip it up, we don't need to blow, we just need to open up our hearts and say, God, would you come? Because He's here, and He wants to do things within our hearts and within our lives. And so would you just start to... I think so often there is a different mode where we're listening and we're processing to them whenever we're opening up our hearts and saying, God, would you come? Would you come and fill my life? And you know, there's not one of us here doesn't need God to touch our lives in some way. And so as we just start to open up our hearts, as we start to open up our lives, just come, Lord. We think of the dove as He comes and He brings affirmation, brings those words of love. You know, Richard sung that song over us this morning about how much God sings over us and loves us. And so you just open up your heart to whatever God needs to say to you right now. Just come, Lord. Come, O God. Come, O Lord. Come, O Lord. Come, O Lord. And as we continue to do that, Beth, can I give you a word? Is that okay? And whenever you were talking there, I was just thinking to myself, and I know that this is part of your gifting, is encouragement. And I was just sitting thinking, I was pondering the whole thing. She's such an encourager. She's such an encourager. And I know that you are, but God gave me a picture, and it was that as you were talking, that oil was coming from your mouth. And we know oil serves a number of different things, but for me it meant two things, that God has given within those encouraging words and within your mouth the ability to see people healed. And as you encourage and bring words of encouragement and just your friendship upon people, that those words would would be like oil that would be poured into wounds and bring healing, and bring just in an everyday normal life would just bring that sense of healing and touch. But also oil speaks of empowering, anointing, and really believe that that heart's desire to see young women released into their anointing, that God is going to give you an increase of that, and that you're going to even have a discernment about sometimes where people are called to, and be able to help release people into that. So just really sensed that while we were sitting there. Can we just continue to open up our hearts? If you feel it's appropriate to lift your hands and just say, Lord, would you come? Would you come? Overflow. Overflow, Holy Spirit. Come and move in this place. Come and move in this place. Come and touch our hearts. Come and touch our lives. Come and minister, Lord. We need you so much today. We need your Holy Spirit to come. To come and to move. And some of you, you know, you've been living your Christian life, and lately it's felt distant. It's felt that you're kind of going through the motions, that it's not as real or as authentic as it used to be. Other stuff has got in the way, distractions, storms, things that have just caused a break within that real connection, that this is alive. And you know right now that you're just kind of going through the motions. You're pedaling the bike, but you're not really getting very far. With so many terms for that, treading water, that you just know, and you know as I'm speaking that God's speaking to you. And the Holy Spirit wants to draw near to you right now, as you would just admit to him, that you would confess, that's me. That's me. I have got myself where I'm in a bit of a rut. I'm going through the motions. And Lord, I'm opening up my heart to you. And I'm responding to you today. And as you do that, he's going to come and he's going to move. If that is you, would you be honest enough while everybody has their eyes closed just to raise your hands high and just say, yeah, that's me today. That's me today. I've just got caught in that bit of a rut. It's a bit distant for me. So, Lord, even as people just confess that right now and just admit that in your presence, would you come and fill? Would you come, Lord, and pour out? Lord, you're not here for condemnation today. You're not here to give your tut-tut, Lord, but you're here to pour out your love, to pour out your mercy, to pour out your kindness. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. There's maybe one or two of you in your stand and thinking, all this love stuff, that's not really for me. I'll never really encounter the love of God. And you'll know that that's you because God, you've just been thinking that, that you're thinking this is for everybody else. And there's a sense on your life that this love is not for me. This connection is not for me because I'm just not worthy of it. And the Lord just wants to say to you this morning that you are worthy, that his eye is on you, that it doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, or how other people have treated you, because that's not a reflection of what he thinks about you. He loves you right now, and you can start to sense the warmth of his love starting to impact your life. And what you've done is you've built up barriers in the past, that whenever you felt that warmth, you've pushed it away because of the sense of vulnerability, that you're too afraid to be vulnerable even with the Holy Spirit. But he's saying, will you break down the walls? Will you allow me to warm your heart with love? And even right now, just open up your heart to him. Right now, just say, God, I drop that. I drop the barrier to you. I open up my heart. Even if you want to do something, change your physicality that just allows you to know, God, I'm opening up my heart. If you want to raise your hands, if you want to do something, I don't want to pinpoint you this morning, but it allows you to say, yeah, I'm responding to that. God, I'm allowing you to come and to fill my heart, to come and fill my life. Come and move, Holy Spirit. Come and have your way. Touch lives, touch hearts, Lord. Touch lives and touch hearts. Come, O God. Come, Lord.
I just feel I have a word for Doreen at the back there. And I think it's actually important that I do speak this from the front and not bring this to you personally, but I feel that you sense that you feel that you've been forgotten and that nobody sees you. Well, God wants to say to you that he sees you. And God wants to say that he has not forgotten you. And his is love is just pouring out upon you. And just receive it. Open up your life and receive it. And as everyone here is our witness, as a witness, that God has not forgotten you.
Thank you, Lord. So as Richard and the guys lead us in a song of worship, if you're just sensing that God is touching your life or you're hungry for him, and I want to include some, this is not an age group thing or an age gap thing. This is right from our young people, for our children, right up to the oldest person in the room, and we'll not try to guess who that is. But the Holy Spirit wants to move and touch our hearts, and we're just going to ask him to come. And we'd love to. We know that God moves in so many different ways, but one of the ways that he does move is when we gather around each other, we lay hands on one another, and we pray. And so, if you're hungry for God to move in your life, will you just come? Just now. Let's not wait or anything. Just come forward. We're all family together. We're saying, God, I'm hungry for you. God, I'm hungry for you. Lord, I'm longing for more. I'm longing for more. And so maybe some of the guys up here, if you wouldn't mind going down and praying for these guys, a prayer team, leaders of the church, to start to minister to folks. And even as they start to move, and if you're hungry for God, why don't you come and ask God just to impact your life, impact your heart, to break you out of that rut, to move in your life. Maybe you've come to a point where you just know God's drawing you towards more, drawing you towards serving him, drawing you towards a life of mission, a life of witness, a life to run after him. Well, why don't you just come and just say, yes, Lord, I'm hungry for you. Lord, I long for more of you. Thank you, Lord.